So on behalf of the youth coordinators, on behalf of the double foreigners, I'd like to welcome Nirvebai this morning. Thank you for coming to see us.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So you all know our dear Nirvebai. He doesn't need any introductions. On a personal note, I first met Nirvebai nearly 30 years ago when I first came to Madhuban as a young child. And along with our dadis, Nirvebai was a key instrument for keep attracting me to Madhuban in those days before I had any understanding of knowledge. And that was quite a deep significance for me because also there was that connection of the yajna that really solidified and made me feel I belonged to the yajna. So that was quite apt, I thought, because for those of you who don't know, the overall theme of our retreat is our living yajna. And it was interesting when we went to see Nirvebai a few days ago to invite him to come and see us, and we gave him a quick overview of the retreat. And we said we're taking the same theme as the NCs and the CCs took up in October of Our Living Yajna. Nirvebai said, "I don't really understand that theme. I didn't understand it then. I don't understand it now." And at that point, we spontaneously said, "You don't need to understand it. You are our living yajna. So would you agree, you know, when you see Nirvebai?" So Nirvebai, the sub-theme for today is Tyag, so renunciation. Today we've taken the theme of renunciation. So I'm going to ask Nirvebai a few questions on this theme. So Nirvebai, the vision we often have of renunciation is that of a solitary, dry life, you know, a life of letting go of the physical, the materialistic. So people often get this mixed up with sannyas, a feeling of sannyas. So I don't think we really understand what tyag is. You know, we understand it on an intellectual level, and we take it very literally. But I feel renunciation is something of the heart. What does renunciation mean for you?
You just reflect on the story of your childhood, and then later on, you know, when you grow up as a young man or as youth, the children have liking for so many things which are very small. So when they get something new, something better, they renounce the little things. So it's something continuous process of renunciation. It's not one time, okay, I have renounced and it's finished. It's not that. Even in this path of spiritual wisdom or jnana, here also we find the same thing. In the beginning, you see, we are told about the gross shortcomings or negativities that we need to renounce. And when someone explains, we become very enthusiastic. Yes. And when the sisters ask, okay, can you write for Baba? I renounce all the five vices. Yes, straightway. But then you know what happens afterwards. Then the tests come. So, renunciation is something very deep. It's not superficial. Deep in the sense that first thing is understanding. Why do you want to renounce? That understanding has to be very, very clear in your heart, not just mind. Accepting something as very important thing to renounce. Most of us, we take decisions. Decisions about renunciation. But then, on and off, we find things come again and again in different forms, and then we recognize that I have yet to renounce. And the renunciation is not without reason. If you look at the philosophy, what we are learning, the acceptance of our own selves, that the soul was once a pure soul, didn't have those negativities, didn't have those shortcomings, and therefore there is inner desire to renounce those negativities. So we keep courage to think about renouncing first. And then someone inspires us, okay, can you give it to Baba? Write it. Even Baba himself asks, okay, take a piece of paper and write it. But then he warns, before writing, think. Once you give it to Baba, you won't take it back. But he encourages, don't worry. Even if it comes back, you give it back to Baba again. Invoke Baba again and again, so that Baba's presence in your heart, in your mind, brings enough courage and strength to renounce it. That's how the process starts.
So, Nir Rabbi, you summarize that. It's a process. Renunciation is a process.
Yeah.
And courage and inner strength is required for that process. Looking at you, you know, for me, you're a great example of what it means to be a royal renunciate. Baba talks about this whole thing of being a royal renunciate. In this process, we haven't got, time is short. From your journey, is there any secrets you could share with us to, you know, shortcuts that we may be able to take, you know, to avoid that long process? You know, young people like things quickly, so anything you could share in that process?
Reflecting back on my own journey, I can tell you that we recognize what is not good for us. So we take a decision to renounce. There are a few things, very subtle things, which we don't understand why this is happening. You have thought of renouncing your anger. Okay. Or you have decided to renounce your attachment with someone very dear to you. But when you renounce, you take a decision, the test comes. The test comes through the same source, in some form or the other. So it takes lot of effort. And then there comes a day when you decide in your own mind, in your own heart, well, this is not good for me. I make so much effort to go ahead, to progress. And by just slipping a little, I lose so much. I go back again. It's like I had experienced something in Brazil. There is a place in one city, I don't remember the name, where when the car is moving, due to magnetic effect, it moves back also. Extra effort is required to go ahead. So similarly, sometimes our own weak sanskars, they become obstruction. Sometimes when we are attached to somebody, his or her sanskars, they become obstructions. Sometimes due to our own ignorance, we make mistakes. Sometimes due to our overconfidence, we make mistakes. It's a long-term learning process. Even if you think that time is short, fine. It's good to think that way. But it takes time to make us understand finally that you have to take a firm decision. The time taken is not for anything else. It is only to bring us to the point of understanding that you have to take a firm decision in your life. That firmness is missing. Once that firmness comes, the problem is solved.
So that's really interesting, Nirbhayabhai, because we see and hear when our dadis came to the yajna. Are you saying that's the difference between, you know, we hear the stories that they instantly renounced. Is that the difference? They took that firm decision immediately, and it's taking all of us a longer time to make that decision?
You two have done the same thing what dadis have done. It was acceptance of Baba. It was acceptance of knowledge. It was acceptance of divine life. That part everyone has, you see, accepted very quick. But even the dadis, you see, when they were staying together, 380 of them, you think they didn't have any problems? If that was the thing, then there won't be any stories of having kachari. Kachari, you understand? The court. Mama would be presiding over. So, the differences of sanskaras, they were there. Similarity of knowledge, similarity of meditation, similarity of, you see, the goal of life, spiritual life, that is there. But each individual has got different role to play, and according to the role, the sanskars are different. So once that is accepted, the problem is solved. Sometimes we keep on insisting on following only one way of life, one thought, one process. It doesn't work. You have to accept variety.
this whole aspect of disinterest and being firm, it feels quite hard and quite heavy. Where does love come into it?
Love for Baba, love for self, love for other souls, that comes there. If you have love for someone, you sacrifice something. If you don't love someone, you won't sacrifice anything. If you don't love yourself, you won't sacrifice anything for yourself. So sacrifice comes if there is pure love.
So linked to renunciation is disinterest. They go hand in hand. And sort of picking up that theme of disinterest, which taken very literally means not being interested in anything. Taking it very literally, disinterest.
No, this is again misunderstood, you see. It's not like the sannyasis. See the people who put on red robes or yellow robes or whatever. Immediately on seeing them, you know, people accept, yes, they have renounced the world. We are in the world. We go to our workplaces. We are like the other people, working, earning, spending. All that is there. But then we found something so beautiful after listening or after understanding this spiritual aspect of life, that there is no need to renounce the world, there is no need to renounce our jobs. Unless you have a better job, unless you have more important job of renouncing and then serving in a big way, that's different. Otherwise, what is needed, wherever we are, we should be able to enjoy our work. We should be able to enjoy our relationships. We should be able to enjoy. But enjoyment means it should be a lasting thing. Not temporary, short-lived, not that. So here you find, you see, because of the spiritual understanding, because of the spiritual outlook, because of the spiritual way of life, Brahma Kumars, Brahma Kumaris, with different backgrounds, still they enjoy being together.
I think that's a really important point, Nirvaibhai, because sometimes we get caught up in this feeling that renunciation means that I would lose that joy, that happiness. So that's a really important point that you've just made. You mentioned the practical...
Excuse me, I wish to take you more deep on the psychological part here. If you can become an observer for your own thoughts, thoughts and actions both included, you will find when your thoughts are accurate as per the spiritual values, you will be feeling very restful, very comfortable within. Very nice. And the people around you will also be feeling very comfortable with you. The moment there is some change, some negativity comes in a very subtle form, it starts creating disturbance in your own mind. That restfulness is gone, that happy mood is gone. The happy smile in the eyes is gone. See, it's a very clear sign. So you have to have a very powerful break at that time. Immediately stop negativity in your mind. How will you do it? Baba has shown many ways, and the easiest thing Baba has said, invoke Baba immediately. Baba, this thought is coming in my mind. It's not very good. The moment you think that way, Baba takes away your anxiety. You feel restful again. So this is something very subtle, but very important. And it can be helpful at every moment. And then slowly and slowly it becomes very natural that you are all the time in tune with Baba and the smile is continuously in your eyes. Theek hai?
That makes sense for everyone? Any clarifications? Any questions?
Yeah. You can throw the floor open. Let questions come.
Now's your opportunity.
Yes, brother.
Take the mic.
Ask him to introduce himself.
Can you just introduce yourself very briefly as well?
Om Shanti. Okay. My name is Matan Israel, 6 years in Guyana. How do I make sure that I do not suppress my weaknesses? I'm aware of them I've been aware of them for 6 years, but I think that I'm suppressing them. I'm not working in the right way. So how not to suppress them and what to do next?
Write it on piece of paper. Have the courage to renounce them by handing over to Baba. If you have something in your pocket and you like to get rid of it, you can give it to me. I'll take care. Hope you get it. So we give it to Baba, Baba takes care. Then you will not have those things with you. It's so easy. The Westerners don't accept so easily. And Baba says, the moment anything is there, you just invoke Baba. Hello, Baba. Hi, Baba. This is my problem. What should I do? And you'll find the answer. Okay? Is it possible to write down your weaknesses?
Yes.
Write down, and there is a box in Baba's room, just beside this. Put it in that. So if any of those weaknesses erupt in your mind again, you simply invoke Baba's image in your mind's eye and share with Baba, I already gave it to you. Finished. It will take 1 week to completely get cleared from these things. Just 1 week. And you are going to be here for 1 week, I think. So before leaving, you will find yourself, you have become like an angel, flying all the time without any baggage with you. Okay? Gee, anyone else? All are happy, Anji.
I found your. Yes, it's Rina from London.
Pardon?
Rina from London. My name is Rina.
Rina. Her name is Rina from London.
Ji.
I found it very interesting how you spoke about renunciating attachments. And at this point of time, I find that the most difficult thing to renounce. And the reason for that is, for me, I see human relationships more as a form of expressing love, affection. And sometimes I feel I can do it, but I feel I'm doing it the wrong way. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be attached. But then suddenly I feel I'm not being human. So that's my question, how we can let go of attachments but still keep that love for people or human relationships.
Arrange breakfast, dinner, supper, eat together, chit-chat, and see the change taking place.
But that sense of caring for somebody, you know, I feel it's okay to care sometimes and... You know,
and then you see, it won't be just eating, and then you'll be having time. Okay, let's have meditation together. So, being together, it's not a sin.
Mm.
And if you can have higher and higher thoughts, which create the whole atmosphere, the vibrations, you'll find it's more comfortable being together than avoiding.
And if that person is expecting something from you, let's say you need to call them 2-3 times a week, and if you don't, because you're saying, okay, I need to renounce my attachment, what can you do in exchange?
The more you think of renouncing the attachment, the more it will be there.
So what's the secret?
Just relax. Be natural. If someone calls you, you listen, you talk, be nice. And supposing you feel like calling sometimes, you call.
Not attachment. If I feel like calling somebody and chatting to them.
Communication is not attachment.
Okay, yeah, that's...
Communication is good. Because in communication, all the good people will talk good things. So that's the criteria. You're not going to talk anything which is not good for you or for the other person. Mm-hmm. Then nothing to worry.
Thank you.
I suffer from something. Someone keeps calling me again and again. And when I take up the phone, there is just one thing. How are you? that's why. Nothing else. Anyway, it lasts for some time and then slowly becomes less and less. Ji. Any other question? From the back benches? All are happy, you see. Okay, I have a question. You see, in some of the Muralis, the Muralis are from those good old days when Brahman Baba was himself doing that practice. That's 1966, 67, 68. 69 was just only 19 days or 18 days. Now those days we used to see Brahma Baba doing lot of silent meditation practice all by himself. Not all the time in class. Class in the morning or in the evening. But otherwise. And Baba mentioned about it in the Muralis that when we do meditation for 8 hours a day. Have you heard that? 8 hours a day, then the accounts of the past will be totally finished and the soul will enjoy Jivan Mukti. How far we are near that, what Baba said. Have we ever thought of it? Because I think a lot about it, but I'm not able to do it. Kya kehte? Dadi ji has come. So I'm very happy Dadi ji has come. We can ask this question from her also. Normally we find she is resting. But when she shares, she doesn't get sleep. She is all the time invoking all of you. Om Shanti. First of all, I beg to be excused. I should have welcomed you in the beginning. I forgot. Because the session started questions and answers. So first of all, most welcome to all of you. All the sisters and brothers from all over the world. And welcome to Dadiji. You can clap. And now I pass on the mic to Dadi ji so that she expresses herself what she has to say to you. Thank you.